Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing well, gents. How are you doing this morning?
Awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, one team that's not awesome right now, the Tennessee Titans, they get destroyed by Cleveland on Sunday, 27-3, and it was ugly offensively. They couldn't block anybody, especially Myles Garrett in that game. And overall, Charles, dating back to last year, the Titans are 1-9 in their last 10 games. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. They had a lot of injuries at the end of last year, and you can point to a ton of different things. A lot of Titans fans we've heard from upset at Vrabel. What's your view on the Titans, Mike Vrabel, the job that he's doing, and where this team is now as they try to dig themselves out of a 1-2 hole?
Well, you know, I think especially when you look at the Browns, all the things we might have been nervous about in the preseason kind of came together. You're a little surprised. Well, I don't know. I guess I was a lot surprised in terms of how the defense played, you know, running the football, certain things that I thought would be fundamental enough that you could count on them. But I think in the preseason, if we talked about this team, we would have said, well, how do we feel about the quarterback? How do we feel about the offensive line? And, you know, those are things that are coming to bear. You know, I know some people probably aren't super happy about the coaching in that game. You know, there were certain decisions, you know, going into the half, some decisions that get made that, you know, put you in a situation to take you away from scoring points. You know, Ryan Tannehill getting sacked late in the first half. I mean, there was just – I get it. I understand what fans are upset about, but I think – it's just there's certain fundamental flaws of the team that really have reared their head at this point, and that offensive line, I think, has destroyed a lot of the continuity, especially when you draft a rookie, you hope that he can come in and anchor things, and, you know, there's obviously been health issues there. So I don't know. It's hard to – I don't want to get completely down on them because I think the Browns are probably a little bit better – than people think, especially defensively. The Browns are a completely different team defensively than they were last year. I think a lot of teams are going to have their hands full, particularly up front, and have had their hands full up front with the Browns. What surprised me, though, was to watch Watson have what effectively was the best game he's played in Cleveland. And not only have his best game, but he looked decisive. He did not look confused at any point, which is, you know, you expect going up against Vrabel and the defensive plans he employs. I would have expected more discomfort out of him. He was just really efficient, completed a super high percentage of his passes. Other than the backward lateral, there wasn't really anything about his day, which, good God, the backward lateral. But, yeah, I mean, there's I get it. I get people being frustrated. But I also think this is some of, I think this was a season we entered into where it was like, if things broke right and the offensive line played above where it looked like it was in camp and the chemistry issues there and you know, maybe even the talent deficiencies didn't come into play and Tannehill played closer to good Tannehill, you know, this team I thought could be a good, you know, could be a good solid team this year. I thought it could be above what expectations were, but in the opposite direction, I think we all knew if the offensive line was as bad as it could be, it was going to disrupt the running game. It was going to disrupt, you can have a new offensive coordinator or not, if you can't run the sets that you have installed, and Ryan Tannehill can't be an effective quarterback, that's going to mar everything, right? And eventually it will get to the defense. So I don't know that there's necessarily an easy fix out of this other than staring, you know, at the season and figuring out where's the cutoff point to diminished returns and trying to sort out the quarterback position and then ultimately pouring everything you can into how you can patch up the offensive line the rest of the season and then have a plan to attack come, you know, the off season and rebuilding and determining who your quarterback is. I hate to use the rebuild word, but at some point you're going to hit that with the Titans. And I thought maybe they would get an overtime season this year. And right now, again, we're only three games in, but right now it feels like some of the worst parts of what we feared are coming to fruition.
And if that's the case, Charles, and it continues to show up, in results, what about Ryan Tannehill to the New York Jets? What about anyone, Kirk Cousins, anyone to the New York Jets? I'm watching the Jets, and I'm seeing a really good team go down the tubes because they're sticking with a terrible quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I thought about the Tannehill factor before because, you know, I know there was a point in the off season where, you know, the Jets, at least when you know, from everything I understood with the Jets, there was some Tannehill availability there, or at least the conversation to be had if the Jets were interested in acquiring Tannehill. Now, this was pre-Aaron Rodgers, and I feel like it was one of those conversations where it was like, hey, you know, if everything goes wrong with your pursuit of Aaron Rodgers and you need a quarterback, you know, we could have a conversation about Ryan Tannehill. And then ultimately that didn't materialize. But, I mean, if you're the Jets and you look at Tannehill at this point, and then you look at your own offensive line, which has got massive problems, I mean, it's the reason why Aaron Rodgers got hurt the way that he did. And then you look at Tannehill, you go, well, does it really fit? I mean, like, it's better than Zach, sure. But if he's getting hit and, you know, we can't effectively run our own stuff with Zach, and then we're bringing in a guy who has not been in the offseason program, has, you know, what is the experience level there with Hackett's offense, all these different things. I think that's part of the problem they're having right now. They went and they had a conversation with Chad Henne because Chad Henne has played for Nathaniel Hackett when they were together in Jacksonville, has some familiarity, is a good support role player, and then there's somebody who, had he patched it all together, and I don't think this is realistic, but I mean, who knows, with the speed bridge, with that Achilles repair, if Aaron comes back for the playoffs, Chad Henne, you know, regardless of whatever Chad Henne might have done at that point, he steps aside and Aaron steps back in. What player do you go out at this point and go, who fits? You know, who can step in and play for this coordinator? Who's going to be able, if Aaron's ready to go in January, who's going to be ready to step aside and hand this team off? And I also think there is an aspect in play here where they know if they sit down Zach for a third time, because remember, he's benched twice last season. They bench him again for a player, whether it's Trevor Siemian or anybody, it's over. I mean, like, it's that guy's not going to be. And I think it's already over. We're there. I feel like they're still just coming to terms with it. Cousins, by the way, you know,
Same issue with mobility.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the issue with mobility, and again, that is real with their offensive line playing the way that it is. And remember, Zach Wilson, as jacked up as his game is, he is he's athletic enough to move around. He's just not doing it. Like he's you know, whether the pocket's clean or not, he's making bad decisions now. I'm sure putting a Tannehill or Cousins in that position can be an upgrade for them. I just don't know if it brings everything together the way that they want. And the reason, I'm telling you, they can say whatever they want. The reason why Hackett is their offensive coordinator is because they wanted to pair him with Aaron Rodgers. And I have no idea what he would look like working with another quarterback that's not Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we've seen the results of Russell Wilson. You know, we've seen the results with Zach, although I think a lot of that is Zach related. I don't know. It's just not as complicated. It's not as easy. It's far more complicated than just go get a guy and plug him in. And it is what it is for the Jets. They kind of made their bed here. They could have technically added a third quarterback to that mix in case the worst case scenario happened with Rodgers, and they really truly wanted this to be a redshirt season for Zach. They could have added another quarterback in the preseason, and they didn't. Now, you don't really expect the guy to go down in four snaps, but this is why you get insurance, right? The second you're like, oh, I'll take a week off the insurance before I renew it, and the house burns down in that week. That's kind of what happened.
Well, more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, continuing our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, talking all things NFL. Charles, how much fun are the Miami Dolphins 70 they put up on Sunday against Denver? And that's with no Jalen Waddle even playing in the game either. What'd you make of that, and how good do you think the Dolphins are in the AFC? Are they the number one team right now in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I remember they're kind of had Jalen Ramsey to the mix too. I think people forget that this is a guy who's not on the field for them yet.
Yeah.
As you said, Jalen Waddle not out there. That game was unbelievable. And, you know, when you talk to other people who kind of watched it, someone said to me, you know, I was talking to a GM and, you know, he basically just said, you're looking at, the space is, he called it the space race. He's like, when you play them, if you look at how they space their offense, you're chasing. He's like, you end up in this track meet with all these guys with speed, and it makes your team look slower and it wears your team out. He's like, by the end of the game, like, you know, he's like, you don't even get to the end of the game. You can see that, particularly when you look at Denver, they were gassed. He said, by the second half, they were just completely wiped out and they looked exponentially slower. And, you know, it's a Denver defense that isn't, you know, it's not like there are wholesale changes there. It's similar to what was there last season. So I don't think speed's really ultimately an issue. It's just you went up against a team that right now schematically is throwing something out there along with their skill level and their speed level that teams are just having a really difficult time handling right now. And, you know, Achan is that game, when he was in the draft, it's funny because I almost wonder if the NFL in a way is changing a little bit this season, because so many small players were in the draft last year, and there was this consternation about, like, well, you know, the first round, the second round, it's going to be filled with a bunch of these kind of smallish running backs, wide receivers, even the third round, like, how are we going to use these guys? And then on Sunday, I watched Tank Dell absolutely, you know, blow up, and he's been a handful for anybody to cover this year, and he's playing at 165 pounds, right? Achane was a small running back that it was sort of like, well, how do you use him? Is he like a gimmick guy? He can't be on the field all the time, but he had a ton of speed. It's just, I think it's remarkable to kind of see how some of the smaller players are being used, but then also how Mike McDaniel, the no-look pitches, that was, I know Chiefs fans are going to say they stole it from Kansas City. We've done stuff like that. Well, okay. I mean, that's kind of what good offensive coordinators do. It's what good head coaches do. And I think Mike McDaniel qualifies as that. They have figured everything out in terms of not only, you know, tailoring that offense from Tua, but he hasn't been hit this season either. That's kind of crazy. Like, he's played so clean this entire year. And if there was one thing where you're like, is that the best NFL team? I would say yes, up until, you know, through three games. But the qualifier is we still have not seen that one thing happen we wanted to see this season. Well, I don't want to say we wanted to see, but what will give you that ultimate exhale is at some point, Tua is going to get drilled. It's going to happen. Every quarterback at some point gets blindsided, doesn't see something coming, and gets hammered. It's going to happen to him. And when it does, I think the exhale is he gets up. There's no concussion. It's not like, you know, that's what we're waiting for, is that one hit moment where it's like, can he survive that? But yeah, through three games, it's hard for me to say that that's not easily the best offense in the NFL. And again, adding Ramsey to that defense down the line, it's, as long as they stay healthy, I mean, it looks like a very good team. But again, we're early, only three games, you know, I worked on a piece earlier in the week about all these 0-3 teams playing each other. The two games where you got four 0-3 teams running against each other. And I focused it through this idea of, like, going back to the Texans getting the expansion, the first overall pick in the expansion draft. So that was 22 drafts ago. So last 21 drafts, if you start 0-4, 71.4% of the time an 0-4 team ends up with a number one pick in the draft.
Wow.
So I'm like sorting through all these records. The years that the Texans took Clowney first overall, they were 2-14. That Texans team started 2-0. So I'm like, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm like, there are 2-1 teams right now that are going to be 5-12, you know, 6-11. But they feel like, you know, hey, everything's turned in the right direction. We're 2-1. No, just wait. The wheels are going to fall off. So some of these situations, you know, teams will come back a little bit. And I do think Miami is a candidate for that, because it's just hard for me to believe that a team that scores 70 points, that's not going to be the standard for Miami, that's for sure. No one should consider that a standard.
Okay, well, how do you see things shaking out for 2-1 Indy and 1-2 Jacksonville? Deep side.
I'll tell you what. One of the things with Jacksonville that is remarkable to me is they're playing in a way that is so similar to what the downside problems were for Jacksonville last year. And I mean, even down the stretch, there's issues, there's protection issues, I think, at times. Now look, Cam Robinson, you know, that suspension I think has hurt them, but the line has got problems. I think they have red zone issues again. And then I think, you know, Calvin Ridley has not played. He's not been the wide receiver one that we were promised. Now, coming off a suspension, you know, it's early, we're three games in and everything. But I do think that's one of the things that when I look at that offense, they're lacking a little bit is him stepping into that wide receiver one role and flourishing. But I would also say that's probably, if you ask me what 1-2 start are you least, you know, panicked about, it would probably be that start, because from a talent level, you know, they're still in a really good spot, and Lawrence is Lawrence, and I still think he has every chance to click into a groove. I do think there's some regret, especially when the fan base looks at what Aiden Hutchinson has done in Detroit, that pick, the Trayvon Walker pick. You know, I think there's a lot of second guessing about, like, why didn't we go with a more finished product than this guy who you know, fits what Trent Baalke liked and, you know, pass rushers he pursued when he was in San Francisco. Indianapolis, I don't know what to think of Indianapolis, other than we all know what the season's about. It's about Anthony Richardson. And now I think we really know what the season's about. It's about Anthony Richardson looks like he has all the upside that they drafted him there for, but he really, really, really has to listen to people who are talking to him about keeping himself healthy, because I don't expect that's going to be a playoff caliber team. I expect it's going to be the growth team that everybody watches, but you know, if Richardson, he cannot play the way he's played the first 2 weeks. I mean, it's I don't even want to say borderline reckless. It's reckless. Like he's got to listen and understand that somebody's going to break him. It's not going to be a concussion issue. At some point he's going to suffer a break or something significant that could curtail his rookie season, and that is absolutely the worst possible scenario for Indianapolis.
Charles, the Devontae Adams situation in Vegas. He played great the other night on Sunday Night Football. Seems like there's some frustration boiling over with him just from the team and everything that's gone on. How do you view that situation, and do you think it could reach a boiling point with Devontae Adams where he asked for a trade at some point?
Well, it's the second time he said in the offseason, like, he wasn't, and he kind of walked the comments back, but he was pretty clear, like, hey, I'm here to win games, and I'm not, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, I'm not here for a rebuild. Like, here, I came here to win games. I think we can win games. I think I can win with whatever quarterback's in there, but I'm definitely here to win. And I think this is a continuation of that, a little bit of that frustration. I do think Aaron Rodgers going down with the Jets, I wonder how much that changes his potential trade market for him. If this is sort of the arc that the Raiders are going to be on and the October 31st trade deadline comes, and it's clearly they're sort of in rebuild mode this season. The Jets would have been interested, I think, if Rodgers had been healthy, you know, and the Jets, I think, understood his Devontae Adams' contract inside and out. I think they already kind of knew, like, hey, this is a tradable contract. This is something we could add. You know, Rodgers he has never stopped talking to Devontae Adams. So I think that, though, was the huge suitor that clearly, I think, was there. They were in a playoff window, and the Jets felt compelled to really push all in on a Super Bowl this year. Now Rodgers goes down. I don't know how much that changes it. He is a target, no doubt, for teams when that trade deadline comes, if you're in your window and you're sitting there, you're going, what we are lacking right now is a veteran number one wideout with, you know, deep speed, size, and someone that not only if we trade and give up assets to for and pay the salary, we want them to have a window more than just being a rental this season. Well, that's going to be Adams. So if that's Jacksonville, you know, who's sitting there saying, well, geez, Ridley's not working out. We could probably make this work right now with Adams. You know, if it's, you know, I don't, Cleveland, I saw Cleveland came up because some idiot fan created a fake Bleacher Report that got shared. And I literally had people, I'm not going to blow them out, but I had like people calling me who were tied to the Browns, like asking me, like, it was like a fake quote. And they were like, did Adams really say this? And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, are people really like, all you got to do is click on the profile that shared this and no, it's not real. And, you know, so, but I ended up having a conversation with someone in Cleveland because I'm like, look, I got to ask you about this, you know. And I thought the reaction from inside Cleveland was the reaction from every single playoff caliber team at the end of October. We don't know if he would fit. He probably wouldn't. Doesn't make sense from a financial or asset standpoint. However, you call just to make the call to see, like, how cheap is he going to be? How realistic is it? And the feeling, though, was like, and I've gotten this from a couple different teams, they're like, why would they trade him? Like, why would the Raiders feel like they have to trade him just because he wants to be traded? If they feel like maybe they want to give Aiden O'Connell a run at some point, you would want Davante Adams on the field, particularly it kind of suits Aiden O'Connell's game. He's got an arm, you know, this is talking about a downfield wide receiver. So he'll get a lot of calls. There's no question about that. And I do think I don't know if he would publicly say it, but I do think Adams, if they're in a hole and he's like, okay, this is a rebuild and I'm here, I think Adams would be very, very open and proactive, at least internally, about them looking at options for him elsewhere.
All right, last thing real fast, Charles. We buried the lead here. Just tell me how intense of a Swiftie you've become.
Oh, my God, dude. What are you doing? What are we doing here?
This is a great story. Like, don't rip this story.
I'm on my phone yesterday and I'm scrolling through Twitter and all I see is in my timeline multiple ads for Fanatics where it's all Travis Kelce jerseys.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And I'm like, here we go. Like, this is how this starts. I did call it though as soon as she was in the skybox, I tweeted this something along the lines of this dude is about to experience media coverage like he has never experienced before in his entire life. He doesn't even know. And I made a joke about TMZ building a shack outside of his house. I think he lives in a high rise, but whatever the case, he's already said like the paparazzi's camping out his place. So it's a story. Everyone's gonna get sick of it. A lot of people are already sick of it. But I will say this: check out Front Office Sports, what they put out there in terms of the financial impact of her already. Doesn't surprise me because I read about the financial impact of her tour and how she creates economies in cities when she comes through. It's pretty remarkable, you know, how quickly this has impacted. As big as the NFL is, there's always something bigger. And as long as it doesn't become a distraction, it's going to be an interesting story, I think, for people who don't just absolutely hate it at this point. And there are plenty, though.
She also guts my checking account when she comes through a town.
Yes. Well, there's... I bet. There's that too. Charles Robinson joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Charles, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us and have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots to react to from what Charles had to say there. We'll do all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Check out their new luxury listing at 6551 Brownlee at tjandersonhomes.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away, a 4-pack of tickets to see the C10 Nationals at Nashville Super Speedway this Friday and Saturday. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, caller number 3, will win a 4-pack of tickets to the C10 Nationals at Nashville Super Speedway coming up this Friday and Saturday. 615-737-1025. Thanks to Charles Robinson for being with us. It was interesting to get his thoughts on the Titans and Vrabel and the 1-9 record in the last 10 games. And, you know, he did bring up the rebuild word. And, you know, we're not there yet, I don't think, for the Titans. But, you know, if you get a couple of more weeks down the road and it's clear that the offensive line is just atrocious and it's a huge problem and the defense isn't playing as well as you thought, you know, you might get there at some point if you're the Titans. So we'll see what happens there. This is, Joe, a big week, I think, to find out exactly what kind of a defense the Titans are going to have. It's been disappointing to this point, particularly in the secondary, and this is a huge challenge that they're getting ready to have in the secondary against Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Joe Burrow and those guys. Like, if this team is going to be a team that can have that top five defense that we've talked about, I think a lot of people have changed their mind on that. And I get it. Like, it's been rough to watch in the secondary. To me, this is a big week for the pass rush. Like, the Bengals' offensive line has improved. They brought in Orlando Brown, obviously, at left tackle. So they have upgraded their offensive line significantly, certainly from where it was 2 years ago in that playoff game when the Titans did whatever they wanted to do. But Arden Key, Harold Landry, who's limited right now with a hamstring, even Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry. Like, I think you need to see more from that group than we've seen the last couple of weeks here, rushing the passer.
It's a ton of pressure on those guys. And there's a lot on them, and it's kind of occurred to me Sunday again in Cleveland talking to those guys. There's a lot on them with the offense. You know, we're talking about the defense. A lot on the defense with the offense. There's also a lot on the defensive front with the way the secondary's playing. So it's like everything. You got to try to carry that offense that's averaging 15 points a game and has not scored a touchdown in two of three games this year. And you got to try to carry that secondary that comes back whole and doesn't look at all like starting secondary against the Cleveland Browns. So there's a lot on them, but that's the reality for this team. Either they're great or this team's bad. It's pretty. I'd use both of those words and feel pretty comfortable with them. They have to be great or this team's bad.
Do you think that they can do that based on what you've seen to this point so far this year?
Yeah.
Can they be that?
Well, I mean, I'm basing it also on track record. You know, Jeffrey Simmons had a low-impact game against the Browns.
Yeah.
I think this year, for most of his time on the field, he's looked a lot more like Jeffrey Simmons to me. Danico Autry is still – he's still recklicious at times, okay?
Nice.
Yes, thank you. Now, Landry's a big wild card in this. Landry – it's just, and it's hard to know. It's hard to have any idea if he's going to kind of continue to be what he has been, which is not as effective as he was before the injury, or if there's going to be some gains there. He had one of the biggest plays of the season, but yeah, that he doesn't look like the same Landry, of course. And, you know, Arden Key, after starting out just absolutely on one, going back home, you know, going back to New Orleans home, as in where he played in college.
Yep.
I mean, he's got to do more. He missed a sack and also really dumb. You know, it gets lost because it was the same play that Fulton had the PI, which I think changed that game. But on that same play, terrible, roughing the passer penalty from him on Watson.
Yeah.
So even if Fulton doesn't make that mistake, that's a first down when they're sitting at second 26 because of just a ridiculous play. He's got to be more of what he looked like early, what he looked like in camp. There's a lot of – I saw that Kaharski had his – I haven't read it yet, but his headline, you know, training camp lied for the Titans. And he kind of mentioned that yesterday when he was in here. So there's some things that we've seen – that we were seeing that we haven't seen. I think a big thing with training camp lying would be two guys who went up against each other and were really good, which is Christian Fulton and Treylon Burks.
Yeah.
But, no, to your point, the pass rush, no question. I mean, it has to be great. And, yes, I do believe it can still be really good. Is it possible, like, a Weaver could do a little bit more? Could a Gibson get involved? Hey, Caleb Murphy is still around too, by the way.
He is.
He had 97 sacks for Ferris State last year or whatever he had.
Did.
So he's around too. Look, Tart obviously is a run stopper primarily, but, like, Naquan Jones gets a sack. They've got – the ingredients, I think, to still be great there, and they just have to be.
Indy Ben on the text line says, I'm not crowning the Colts at all this early.
Uh-huh.
That would be foolish. But it's amazing what an actual quality offensive coaching staff can do for a team. They clearly lacked that the last few seasons under Reich. You can already see the struggles in Carolina with him as head coach. To scoff at Indy as a Titans fan would also be ridiculous to do, as the Colts have always had good talent. They just didn't have the coaching staff and quarterback the last few seasons. They hopefully seem to have found that. This is from Indy Ben on the text line. Indy Ben's fired up.
Then. My response to him was in all caps, Super Bowl hotel rooms. Book them, Indy Ben. Well, on the Reich thing, was Carolina supposed to be good? That's why they have a coaching change. Yeah. They got a rookie quarterback who I think will absolutely. We'll see. But it's a little early to judge Reich at Carolina. I'm not saying he was great in Indy. If you're a Colts fan, I get you saying, yep, he's got to go. He did some head-scratching things there for sure. But let's I say let's pump the brakes. All we can do is talk about things as they exist right now.
Sure.
And so right now the Colts are 2-1 and alone in first place. They just won at Baltimore with Gardner Minshew pulling a Dan Orlovsky and still winning the game for them. So, hey, I'd be excited if I was a Colts fan too.
Colts have the Rams coming up on Sunday. Then they showdown with the Titans next week before another showdown with the Jags. A lot of divisional games for the Colts earlier in the season. Speaking of the division, what did you make of Charles saying of the 1-2 teams, Jacksonville probably the least concerned that he is about the 1-2 teams to this point?
It's interesting. I mean, I need to go look at the standings and go through all of the 1-2 teams. But I don't know if I would agree with that.
Well, I can rattle them off for you real quick.
Okay.
The Jets, the Texans, the Jags, the Titans, the Raiders, the Bengals, which is probably my answer, the Chargers, and then you have the Rams, the Giants, and the Cardinals.
Yeah, like some of those teams, first of all, I guess, I mean, some of those teams are supposed to be bad, so yep. Whatever, you know. I'm not panic buttoning the Jags either, but the pass rush, like he was talking about, Walker is one of the big concerns there. I mean, they could have gone Hutchinson, and he just has not panned out. It's funny because I feel like most of the Georgia players who come to the NFL turn out to be really good, but it's not going to be 100% hit rate. And I don't know. He looks a little bit shaky, not as effective. Their pass rush isn't there. What about what Charles said about how about Devontae Adams and Jackson? What do you think?
I'm sure Titans fans love the sound of that.
Can you imagine that one? Ridley and Adams.
Ridley and Devontae Adams out there. I am interested to see how that plays out. He seems like he's mad in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, maybe when the Green Bay Packers offer you a contract that was more money, you should have taken it.
Oh.
Who knows?
Yep.
Tune in to 102.5, 106.3, the game this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. Commodores kicking off at 3 o'clock at home against Missouri with pregame beginning at 1:30. You can hear all the coverage on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Check out the great offers for Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Deals include half off a $20 gift card for Ellison Place Soda Shop, Campione's Taste of Chicago, Calabria Brick Oven Pizzeria, and more. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. JD on the text line, Joe, says, I think Vrabel's a good coach. For the vast majority of fans, he's just not that likable. Goes on to talk about when you're winning, that's okay, but when the losses are piling up, the play has honestly been less than impressive. Everybody wants to hold someone accountable. Facts are, Titans just don't have enough good players. They are the Dollar General of the NFL. Shout out to Dollar General.
Okay. Yeah. Free ad for them. I mean,
nothing wrong with Dollar General.
I pop in there. Time to time. So let's talk about likability real quick.
Okay.
We could do more on this at some point, but just real quick, like the whole, you know, he's just not that likable. How many coaches in the NFL are likable? Like you'd like to hang out with that coach.
Mike McDaniel.
McDaniel does come to mind. Goofball in Detroit comes to mind.
Dan
Campbell. I'd go drink some beers with Dan Campbell.
He does come to mind. I mean, other than that, they're all just kind of
Yeah, just I mean, actually,
Tomlin. I like Tomlin.
Yeah, yeah. He's pretty likable. I like Frank Reich. He seems like a nice guy.
Sure.
I'm going around like, yeah, like I don't want to talk to Kyle Shanahan. No, dude, great. I mean, you watched 23 hours of film today. You know, like
LaFleur's 32 on the list.
Actually, you know, I kind of like Matt. Nice dude.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah. What? I mean, how much winning is like? How much winning does Matt LaFleur have to do before you think he doesn't suck as a head coach?
Well, when he starts to not suck as a head coach, I'll let you know.
I mean, he can't be as bad as you say he is.
I do think his record's like 50-19 or something.
Yeah,
like
I mean, come on.
But to
Brian,
your point,
I might go drink some beers with Brian Daboll. He seems all right.
I don't know. He seems like he might lose his mind on you at some point. You've seen him go nuts on the officials? It's crazy.
Yeah.
But to your point, like, there's not a ton.
Yeah.
Not a ton of them either. Just,
yeah, whatever.
Like, honestly, like, Vrabel seems kind of likable just when the cameras aren't on, right? Like,
yeah.
He seems like a pretty likable guy.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's the thing. Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, the press conferences, which he hates press conferences anyway. And then, obviously, in certain moments, then, you know, it's going to be different than others. I mean, he's had some good press conferences.
Andy Reid, definitely likable.
Andy Reid is likable, of course. Yeah.
Got somebody that says Sean McVay, Josh from Spring Hill in the text line. Sean McVay likable?
I mean,
a little energizer bunny.
I mean, I don't know. It'd be interesting to talk ball with him.
I suppose.
He'd tell you about like some like 3rd and 7 call
in 2015
when he was a QC coach in Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean,
safety was playing it's 12 yards off the line.
It's probably about less than 50%, but like, you know, I feel like central casting is like, what's his name in Buffalo? You know, it's just like, all right.
Yeah, McDermott.
Just end the press conference. Belichick, you know. Hey, Bill Belichick, you know, Tim Corbin, to me, is not only a great coach, but like a super likable person, okay?
Correct.
Great guy. Also, in the midst of a loss, after a loss, like, get out of his way.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awful. And by the way, he's like really good friends with Belichick, who I bet you Belichick is a barrel of laughs in the right situation, you know? And the same thing with Vrabel. Like I said, I think fans would all love Vrabel if they could just have one unplugged session of him at a practice.
See, like, I feel like the Titans should do this at some point.
They should. I mean,
just
have to
mic him up.
Yeah, you got to bleep everything.
Or just let it go.
He's already been on Hard Knocks with the Texans and got in like 90 million F-bombs in like a half hour of TV.
Just give us a not safe for work disclaimer and mic him up for one practice.
That would be cool if they would actually go bleepless.
Just mic him up one time.
Yeah. I think you'd all change your minds and be happy with 9 out of 10 losses.
Let's go. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning, buddy.
Yeah, how you doing, Robbie? What's up, Joe? Tough loss yesterday.
Was a tough loss.
Yeah, Rob. Yeah.
Hey, make it real. We got to let Jared win sometimes, man. We got to let Jared win sometimes.
No, Joe, I don't believe that. I don't want him to win, period. Not sometimes. I don't want to let him win, period.
At all.
No, at all, Joe. But y'all were talking about the Titans. Their defense is going to have to play better as a unit. Secondary, front four, whatever, whatnot. But Joe, y'all were talking about likable coaches. I could drink some chocolate milk and eat a bowl of Cap'n Crunch with Bill Belichick. I like arrogant people, man. I could do that with him. yeah, man, I could. Dan Campbell, like you said, I could drink chocolate milk and joke around with him. Tomlin. I mean, there's a lot of good guys. Mike McDaniel, Shanahan. I drink a Sprite with Mike Vrabel. I like Vrabel.
Okay.
I mean, he's arrogant. But I do like him. He just needs to get his coaching, you know, get his coaching back going and get that team back right. But, you know, y'all were talking about them guys. I mean, I like all the coaches and stuff. I mean, I know you got certain ones that are arrogant and this and that. But, hey, man, it doesn't really matter. But I just wanted to call and share that with you all today, man. And, Robbie, Joe, y'all have a good day. Joe, we'll get them next week. Don't worry about it.
We'll get
Mark, appreciate
we'll
you, brother. Him. Thanks for calling in. Chocolate milk and Sprite.
Yeah, why'd he switch to Sprite for Vrabel?
I don't know. Need a little bit more carbonation to.
Chocolate milk is like the workout, post workout drink for some strength coaches.
That's what they say. Like, it feels. counterproductive to what I was taught growing up.
Yeah, but. I know. Well, I forget that. I actually have read up on this, and there is something to it.
Look, man, if drinking chocolate milk is apparently good for you, I'm all about it. I'll do it again.
Right?
Yeah.
Yoo-hoo guy?
I'm a Yoo-hoo guy.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll crush them, Yoo-hoo.
Absolutely.
That's not milk.
That's all right. Any type of chocolate
that's
milk.
True. Yeah, that's true. That's like it's just like chocolate.
It's like
drink.
A chocolate flavored drink.
Chocolate drink, yeah. Yeah, chocolate milk.
Look, he
would
just
be
asked
better.
Me if I was a Yoo-hoo guy. Yeah.
It's an offshoot of chocolate milk. This has been a great way to end the show. And it's your birthday.
It is.
31.
Maybe I'll have chocolate milk today. Who knows?
So you're going to have a wild night cuz I got Kaharsky tomorrow, is that right?
Yeah, man. Packers play tonight.
Oh, you are going to have a good night on your birthday. Let me promise you, my friend.
They lose the Lions. You're the first text message I'm sending. Screw you, Rex Road. What it says.
They won't. Don't worry.
That does it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Kuharski in for me tomorrow. So looking forward to that. Chasing Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.